priests. I don't like visitations. I don't like going to them, whether it's somebody I'm related to or not. I just don't like them. And part of it's because I'm awkward, right? I don't know how to act. And for me, it's difficult because I know in my spirit, I know that death is a lie, right? You know that, right? Death is a lie because Jesus has overcome death. And we know that all will be raised one day. We looked at that last week with the resurrection, that all will be raised, the just and the unjust. So funerals are hard for me because it seems like when you're at them, so many people are wrapped up in the death, and I know that that's not the end, right? And so I don't know how to act. I'm kind of a straight shooter, if you don't already know that. Sometimes it gets me in trouble because I say things that are a little unfiltered and in a way that I don't really mean for them to be. Well, I do mean for them to be that way, but I mean for them to be said nicer, but they just come out. And so I feel weird because I'm like, I want to just get up and tell everybody, like, you know, what I think. And as a preacher, it's really hard to go to a funeral sometimes, especially one that is of, you know, of another faith like Catholicism or something, where you know that they don't even share the same theology that you do. You know that there's going to be things that are going to be said that you don't believe. And you know that there's going to be things that are going to be said that quite frankly, you know, just aren't right. And so as that's going on and it's going through my mind, and really, I tried not to do this. I really do. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, that's not right. That's not true. That's in the Bible, but that's not what it means. And I'm thinking these things, but what I do is I'm like, God, show me a nugget of truth here, right? Let me hear something that is true, something that is going to get planted, hopefully in somebody's heart, because Jesus told us himself, he said that you shall know the truth and the truth will do what? Set you free, right? You need to know truth. And that's why I don't like funerals and visitations, is because a lot of times there's a lot of things that are said that it's kind of like, I get the intention of it is to make the people feel good, but sometimes it's not truth that's being said. And it's the truth that set people free. It's not things that make you feel good. That's temporary. And so I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And then all of a sudden, I hear it. And it was like, I was like, thank you, Jesus. You just redeemed the day. You know, you redeemed the little message part of the service. And he said this. He said that we are quantitative people, right? In America especially, we're quantitative people. Things are about quantity for us, about the amount. It's like, how much do I have? How much can I have? How much can I earn? Can I gain? It's all about how much is kind of how we tend to look at things. And when we look at life like that, it can be pretty discouraging, because do we all realize that life is short, right? I mean, it doesn't matter how long you live, it's short. You live 100 years, 100 years is short. I mean, it seems like a long time if you're 10 or if you're 20 or maybe even if you're 30 or 40. You guys that are 50 or 60 are probably like, 100 does not seem that old, right? And it's like, as I get older, that bar moves farther and farther. I know I've shared that before, but it's like, 100 years is not that long. And so if we're quantitative people and we're looking for the amount, if that's what we're set on and what our hope is in is number of years, we're going to be disappointed because it's going to come like that, right? And so he shared that. He's like, we're quantitative people. And I thought, man, that's so true, because so many people are looking at, and it is when somebody dies, especially young, you look at the number of years. And that's what I kept hearing was age. You know, he was only 31. He was only 31. Well, my cousin was born a miracle and lived 31 years of overcoming death every single day of his life, because he wasn't supposed to live from the minute he was born. And he wasn't supposed to make it to 10 years old. And he wasn't supposed to make it to 15 years old and 16 and 17 and on and on and on. But it's not just about the quantity. It's not about the number of years. And the statement that he made next was, he said that life is not about the quantity, it's about the quality, right? It's about the quality of your life. Life is short. We can bank on that. We can guarantee it. And you know what? There's nothing that we can do about it, right? Is there anything we can do to add a year to our life? I mean, maybe eating a little bit better, I guess maybe could add some time to your life. But there's nothing we can really do to say, I'm going to do this and I'll never die. I'll live to be 200 or 300. But what we can do is we can choose to live the years that we do have with excellence. Right? We can choose that I'm going to live the life that I've been given, whatever number of days those are, and I'm going to try to live those with great quality. I'm going to try to live those with a level of excellence. I'm going to try to live them with superiority to how maybe I've lived in the past and how I've lived up to this point. And there's a song on the radio by Micah Taylor. When I was writing this sermon, it was like, sometimes these songs, I told Christy the other day, I really wish I was musically gifted. Like, I wish I could play instruments like kind of naturally or even supernaturally, probably would be better for me, and sing really well because I love music. I love to worship. And I get songs stuck in my head sometimes for days. But I heard this song, and I'm not going to sing it to you, but it says, I want to be different. I want to be changed. Till all of me is gone and all that remains is a fire so bright the whole world can see that there's something different, so come and be different in me. This song's on the radio, and I was thinking about this song, and I was like, this is the song, this type of song needs to be the prayer of the believer, right? It's for Christ to come and be different in us, that through the work of the cross and the work through the grave and the power of the Spirit, that God can resurrect any part of our lives. He can resurrect our lives, but he can resurrect any part, any situation, but that can't be it. You know, so many people came to church last week on Resurrection Sunday, and so many people heard that there's this life-giving God out there, and so many people heard that things can be changed. But so many people left it right there. So many of those people are not in church the week after Easter. So many of those people are sleeping in. They're back to the same things they're doing. They made it a priority for 1 week. But surely there's got to be something more, right? I mean, doesn't there have to be something beyond just the resurrection, as great as that is? There has to be more. I mean, I really, really can't believe that Jesus would go through all that he went through, the suffering and that brutal death, just to give us one more shot, and that just to be it. I mean, to me, that couldn't be worth it, right? To just give us a shot, and that's it. There's stuff that follows the resurrection. It's the new life, amen? Right? There's got to be new life. That's the purpose of the resurrection. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're granted newness of life through Christ. So we don't have to live in the past. So we don't have to be who we were. And with this new life, we should have renewed purpose. Renewed purpose for our lives. Renewed purpose is the reason for the resurrection, right? There's a reason we're resurrected. There's a reason we're born again. And so there can be a renewed purpose in our life. How many of you have encountered somebody that's like they're searching for purpose? How many of you have been in that place? I'm searching for purpose. Teenagers often searching for purpose. What's my place in this world? Well, I'll tell you, the reason that Jesus gives us new life is so we can get renewed purpose, so we can see what the purpose should be in him. That's the whole reason for the resurrection. It's the whole point. Purpose is the reason that something exists or the reason that it is done. We're offered new life through Christ by the power of the Spirit, and we're offered that for a reason. It's so that we know what Christ has planned for us. What has God made us for? What is the reason we're alive? What is the reason we're on the earth? Do you believe that God has a plan just for you? Do you believe that his plan isn't necessarily the plan that he has for the person sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you? It's for you. It's only for you. And that, you know, I believe that this plan, this renewed purpose, when he gives us this, this is one that we can change the world. You know, I believe that. I believe that we, as the body of Christ, that we can change the world. Do you guys believe that? I mean, I really do. I really believe that if the church was full and on fire and pursuing Jesus with everything that they had, I believe that we could change this world. I really do. It's up to us, though, right? It's up to us to seek him, to find out the specifics to that plan. And so today, that's kind of what my goal is, to kind of get you pointed down that road as we look at the things of the Spirit. We're looking at new life. We're looking at what does it mean? What is the purpose of this new life, this renewed purpose that he puts in us? And so I'm going to get you pointed down that road. If you believe in that this morning, say amen. All right. Man, you guys are good. That's louder than when there's like three times that many people here. You guys don't get that loud. Maybe it's just because it's so quiet. Donovan quit cheering, so apparently he hit the snooze button on me. I must have fell off the cliff or something. But all right, Ephesians chapter 4. This is where we're gonna camp out at here today. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Paul says this. He says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So he starts this with therefore, right? He starts it with therefore. And when we see that, it's important to look back and say, okay, well, what was before this? Why is this? People say, what's the therefore? Kind of funny or whatever, but it's like we really should, when we see that word, it should be like, you can't start there and read because you don't really know why is he saying this. You got to kind of look before it. And if you look before this verse, therefore means that this is as a result of. So it means that what I'm getting ready to say is as a result of what I just said. It's because of what I just said. And so if you look at the first three chapters of Ephesians, it's all about doctrine. It's all about the principles of Christianity. You know, it's about Jesus dying for us, that we're saved by grace through faith. It's about the fact that we are brought near to God through Christ and his sacrifice. So it's all this doctrine, all these principles. He basically is like, I just told the church what they need to know about Jesus. And because of that, now listen to this. He tells what Jesus has done. He tells even what our identity is in Christ. He tells us what our position is in Christ. He tells us things that we need to know and things we need to believe. Because do you know that if we need to think right if we're going to act right? You need to know doctrine before you can apply doctrine. It doesn't really do you very good to try to live a godly life if you don't know what a godly life actually looks like and what that is. So he tells us these things. He gives us these doctrines. And isn't it amazing how many Christians call themselves Christians, but they don't know the elementary principles of the faith? I'm going to challenge you guys. I'm not going to hand the microphone around and do this right now. But I'm going to challenge you guys to seriously, when you go home, you can do this with your friend or your spouse or whatever. You can even just do it yourself and write it down. If somebody said, "Tell me about Jesus," what would you say? Why do I need Jesus in my life? What would you say? How do I get saved? What would you say? I mean, there's a lot of people sitting in pews that don't know how to answer these questions. And these are the basics of our faith. And this is kind of where Paul's at. He's like, I just laid out all this stuff for you. If you read Ephesians 1 through 3, you're going to know the bulk of that stuff that I just laid out there. But you got to know it, right? It's got to be in us. So you may need to read it a few times. You may need to be meditating on that. But he lays out these things. And he says, I've given you this doctrine. But now, here, therefore, because of these things, because of who Jesus is, because of what he's done, because of your position in him and your identity in him, I, a prisoner of the Lord, the prisoner of the Lord. And I kind of picture when Paul's saying prisoner of the Lord, It's like me, this man who's been captivated by the love of Christ, right? He's like kind of given his credentials here that I'm not just some guy that's just telling you this, but I'm a guy who God has just taken captive. I'm a guy that God has spoke things and showed things to me that just totally captured my heart. And out of that position, I'm telling you that these things that you need to grab a hold of. So it's pretty important that we listen, okay? Because Paul's in this place where he's like, man, hear my heart. Like, you need to get a hold of this because of who Jesus is. And he says, so I, a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you. This means to encourage, but even beyond that, it's almost to beg, right? So because of this love that I have found in Christ, because of the way he's captured my heart, I'm begging you to listen to this. I'm begging you to act upon this. And what he says is, I'm begging you to walk worthy of the calling by which you were called. Walk worthy of the calling by which you were called. Paul takes us basically from a place of principle to practice. He's like, here's who Christ is and what he's done and who you are in him. Now here's what you need to do about it. You got to do something, right? We do have active faith in Christianity. Amen? Now this doesn't mean that you work to get saved, but it means when you get saved, you get to work, right? That's what it's all about. Paul's this guy who gets it, right? We know the story of Paul. We know Paul is a guy who gets it, killing Christians and imprisoning them, fighting against Christ. And when he had this encounter, we were talking about on the way home last night, me and Christy and my dad and Channing were talking about a couple different funny stories in our lives. And like, in our lives, if we could go back and witness something again, I'll tell you real quick. So there was this time when my mom got attacked by Channing's cat. Now, we were adults at this time. I don't even remember what we were doing there. But the cat didn't have claws. But when it wanted something, it would attack my mom, okay? If it wanted food, it would attack my mom. If it wanted a litter box change, it would attack my mom. And me and Channing were sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden, my mom's like, well, you stupid cat, what do you want? You know, I just changed your litter box. I'm pretty sure you have food. And as she's walking to look, the cat goes from 0 to 60 like that and leaped up on her leg and she'd had no claws, had a hold of her leg like this with the paws, and then it had the back paws on there. It was fully on the leg. And my mom starts screaming at us, not at the cat, at us, for us to do something. We were frozen in time. We both were recalling this story, and it was like, yes, that's how I remember it. It's like the whole world stopped except for my mom, the cat, and the door that was on a hinge you're getting ready to hear about. Everything else in the world stopped. It's like it lasted 30 seconds, but it was 30 minutes. I don't know how it took so long. And she's yelling at us, and we're just like sitting on the couch. And she begins to beat her leg against the door. They have this little half door. It hooks together, but you can open the top half. So the top half's open, bottom half's partially open. And it has this little thing on there, so it kind of clanks around, you know. And she proceeds to just beat her leg on this door. And the door's kicking open, and you can hear the thing clanking around, and me and Channing are still like this. She's still yelling, and 3 or 4 beats later, the cat decides, okay, not I give up, I'm getting off this ride, right? It wasn't as a result of the beating. It was just like, oh, I had my fun, now I'm done. And my mom had these bruises, 4 bruises on her leg, and it was the funniest thing I have ever experienced in my life. And most of the rest of nobody else in the family was there, but it's like they've heard us tell it so many times that they all like think that they were there. Christy said that last night. She's like, you know what? I wasn't even there, but it's like I was there because I know it in such great detail. And that was the short version. Channing could give you the long version later. But we think about that, and it's like, if I could go back in time to experience something in my life, I'm not going back to my wedding. I'm not going back to my kid's birth. I'm sorry. I'm going back to when that cat attacked my mom, because I want it on video with sound, with audio and everything. So I could show everybody, because if there was only one of us, people would be like, you're exaggerating, you're making it up. We are not. That is totally how it happened. But I think about Paul in this, when he's on this road to Damascus and he has this encounter with Jesus, and Jesus blinds him and he falls to the ground. And like, wouldn't you love to go back to that point in time and be there to see what it looked like when this light shone down from heaven? And it's like, I can't even imagine what that had to look like. For Paul, he didn't see anything. So, I mean, when you get to heaven, don't ask Paul, what did it look like? He doesn't know, okay? But you could ask Luke, because he wrote it down. But we see this stuff, and I would love to go back there and see what that looks like, because I think that if we had seen how Paul experienced Jesus, we would take the things that he wrote a lot more seriously. We'd take them with a kind of like with a little more sincerity, like, wow, this guy has really been through the ringer. He's really had an amazing, powerful touch by God, and I should listen to what he's saying. Like, he's got to be trustworthy. If anybody is telling me about Jesus, if it's this guy, I've got to listen to what he's saying. Paul, so affected by the love of Christ that he's basically imprisoned by this love. He couldn't get away from it if he tried. As he's writing these letters, you think about him penning these letters, and he couldn't get away from the love of God if he tried. You know, he was literally in prison when he wrote this letter, and a few others. This is Ephesians. He was in prison for Philippians and Colossians and a few of the others. He was literally in prison, but when he says that here, when he says the prisoner of the Lord, he's not saying I'm in prison because of Jesus, even though he was. He's saying I'm imprisoned by Jesus, right? Because he has captivated me. But think about when you are in prison. So he is in prison, and when you're in prison, you're really at the mercy of the prison guard. Right? I mean, you have to rely on them. You would literally lay in that cell and you would die if that prison guard did not provide you with the things that you need. You're relying on them to give you food. You're relying on them to give you water. You're relying on them to give you fresh clothing. Whatever it is that you need, you're relying on that person. And if they don't give it to you, then you will not have it. Right? You can't get out. You're in a cell. You're in a jail. And quite frankly, even in that position, the things that you want, you know, I would like to get a different book, please. Right? They don't want to give it to you. You don't get a different book. And I kind of picture Paul as many times as he was in prison. And it's like spiritually, he was in this place where he was imprisoned by Christ. And you could think of that as a bad thing, but he was saying that I am totally in dependence on Christ for everything that I need. Everything that I need in this life, for the water that I drink, for the food that I eat, for the clothes on my back, for my travels to wherever I'm going, for my provision to get there and to stay there, everything in my life, I am a prisoner of the Lord. I mean, that's a good, good place to be. Is to be a prisoner of the Lord. He is dependent on Christ. And he says, there's nothing that I need that I don't have in Christ, right? Just what we were singing earlier, to live is Christ and to die is gain, because you get to be with him. And so Paul pens these letters and he tells us that it's from this position, this place where he's reliant on the Holy Spirit, and this place where he has all the provision that he needs in life. It's from there. I beg you to walk worthy of the calling by which you were called. Do you guys want to walk worthy of the calling by which you were called? I really hope so, after I just told you about Paul, and then he's the one that wrote this, okay? If that doesn't get you excited, you need to drink some of what Donovan's having, He's excited about it. Right? Paul says, I want you, because of this, because of what I've been through and what I've just taught you, I'm begging you to walk worthy of this calling by which you were called. Now, how many of you feel worthy of the calling by which you were called? I mean, for most people, that's kind of hard. I mean, if you kind of get what he's saying already, then you might be there. But just to read it on the surface, to be worthy of it, that's a hard thing for us to say. Because I think that word can kind of trip us up. Because again, there's things that we're taught that we're not supposed to be. Right? We're not worthy. Right? We're not worthy of what Jesus did. We're not deserving of him dying in our place. We're not deserving for the Holy Spirit calling us to be a part of the kingdom. We're not deserving for the Holy Spirit to call us to be a servant of the Lord. But this worthy right here, this is not in a way of deserving. Okay? He's not saying you need to walk in a way that you deserve the way that you were called. That's not what he's saying here. So for the nerds out there, the rest of you can tune out for one sentence. The Greek word here for worthy, it's spelled A-X-I-O-S, but it's axiao, and it means having the weight of another, weighing as much as something else, or having like value or like worth. And so to take it kind of literal, it means to bring up the beams of a scale, okay? So you can picture like an old set of scales, right? An old set of scales. You put something on one side, you put something on the other side, right? And you're comparing weight. And so this is what it's like. It's literally like an old set of scales. And so picture that you're trying to balance those scales. To balance the scales, you have to have equal weight on both sides. This is what that word worthy means. It means to balance something out with something else. And I'm going somewhere here with this, so you're going to get it in a moment. But we've got to think about these scales. I just want you to picture those in your mind as we go through these. What's on one side should be equal to what's on the other side. So that means something's being weighed. Something's being weighed out. Something's being measured. What is that? What's being weighed? You've got to look at the verse, all right? Look at what's on each side of the scale, which is the word worthy. It tells us to walk worthy of the calling, all right? So on one side of the scale, you have walk, all right? You have walk sitting there, and on the other side, you have calling, right? It's really easy. Language sometimes is actually fun. I hated English language in school, but as I study things, sometimes it's actually really fun because in this situation, it's literally that easy. Find the word worthy. It means to weigh like on a scale and compare, and right on each side of it, you have the walk and you have the calling. So you start with the walk, all right? Church people have kind of hijacked the word walk, as in like, you know, we're talking about our walk, our faith, and the walk with Jesus. And it's okay. I'm not saying that we can't. But do you know that everyone lives this life and starts this life with a walk? Everybody. Everybody's walking in this life, no matter if they're with Jesus or not. This walk is your life. It's kind of like this is where somebody's going. This is how they're going through life, how they're processing life, how they're conducting themselves. Everybody is going through a walk. The question is, where are they going and who are they walking with, right? But everybody's doing it. Everybody's going. So every person, if they're alive, they have a walk already. So the walk is on the scale right from the get-go. The walk is on the scales, and that side has all the weight. 100% of the weight. It's like that's the only thing on the scale. It's dropped all the way to the ground. But on the other side, you have your calling. Now, your calling, this is your invitation by the Holy Spirit. The calling here literally means invitation to a banquet. Your invitation to the banquet. Your invitation to the party. Your invitation to join everybody else. It's the invitation of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so you have this invitation. It's not just salvation. This isn't just living your life versus being saved. No, it's more than that. It's this invitation not just for salvation, but this invitation to live the life that God has created for you, to live the life that God has made you for. This is this invitation to follow Jesus every day. This is this invitation to receive every spiritual blessing, like we're told earlier in Ephesians, that is available to us. This is the invitation to take up this new position as an heir and a fellow member of the body of Christ, okay? It's a really big thing that we're putting on the scale on the other side. It's not some little thing. It's not just salvation. So we said that everybody has a walk. Do you know that also everybody has a calling? Everybody has a calling. Every single person. That is something to be excited about. Everybody has a calling. You know, there's times where I see people, I'm being honest, I'm being transparent with you guys, that I think that maybe there's no hope, right? And you're going to see people like that. Just in my flesh, just by using, you know, common sense and rationalizing, I'm like, I don't think they're going to get it, right? That's what we can do. I want to tell you that that person, there's a calling on their life. Every single person has a calling. That's not even debatable. They have a calling. The Holy Spirit right now is calling every single person to accept that invitation. He's offering it to everybody. Jesus died once for what? All. I don't know about you, but that word all to me means everyone. All. It includes everybody. God so loved the world, okay? The whole world. Everybody in it, not love the trees and the things above people. He loves the trees because he made those too, but he loves the people in the world is what that's getting at. Jesus died for the people of the world, not for the actual planet itself because it's going to get purged with fire one day, okay? He died for the people of the world because that invitation is extended to all. He desires that all would come to repentance, right? Every single person. That's the desire of the Holy Spirit. So in that light, walk worthy of the calling by which you were called. Picture these scales. And what Paul is saying here is he's begging us, remember? He's begging us and he's saying, listen, please, please, please let your walk, let your life be balanced by your calling. Let the life that you live be balanced by the invitation to follow Jesus every single day, every single moment, to walk in the Spirit, to deny the flesh, to follow him. Let that balance your life. You know what? If your life has more weight, your life is not balanced. You've got to balance it out. You've got to accept that invitation to the point to where it equals things out, to where it levels out, if you picture those scales, right? The reason that life, that the walk weighs so much is because for most people, for every person, we're selfish and life is about me. And you're like, well, my life's more about my kids. Well, that's still you. It's your kids, right? It had the word mine in there. It had the word mine or I, my kids, my job, my fam, my husband or wife, my money, my time, what I want, what I need. Just naturally, the walk has more weight. It's one-sided. Life is one-sided when everything's about us, but we've got to let the calling, what God has for us, bring some weight to the other side. You know what that does? You ever think about the fact that it says that when someone humbles themselves, when they're brought low, that God will lift them high? You think about that. When your life is on that scale, your walk, and it's weighted all the way down, and when you start to let God's call level that out, where are you going? You're up. That scale actually, even though it's tilting the scale what people would think not in my favor, it's actually taking you from the bottom and starting to bring you up high. It's lifting you up. And so we've got to get to that place where we let the call of God balance out our life. The life you live has got to be balanced by the life that Jesus gave for you and the life that he's called you to. Jesus showed us by his example, 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Listen, if you've accepted that invitation, are you letting it bring balance to your life? That's something we've got to consider every single day. Am I letting Jesus bring balance to my life? People are too tired. People are too worn out. People are too busy. They're too this. They're too that. It's because the balance is not there. It's because the balance of life, of the walk and the calling, is not there. It's because there's too much weight on the walk. You think about, I'm tired. You think about, I'm worn out. You know what? That's weighty. It's heavy. There's too much weight on the walk. There's not enough weight over here on the calling that helps to level that out and lighten that burden and raise you up and lift you up. Listen, I'm going to tell you, when it's perfectly level, straight across, it lifts you up to the place that Jesus is at. Think about that for a moment. When you're down here and the calling's up here and the weight is off center, when you start letting the calling of God level out your life, look where you're at. You're seated where Jesus is at. You're on level playing field with him. If you're in Christ, that means that you're leveled out in your life. So listen, I want you to know that today you need to know that when the Holy Spirit works in your life's not supposed to remain the same. Right? If the Holy Spirit is in your life can't remain the same. It just can't. It's not possible. You need to know that this calling brings balance to your life, to your walk, and the scales start to tip. And when the scales are fully tilted, your walk and your calling are leveled out to a place where you can walk in peace. Right? That's the peace of the Lord. When it's fully level, the walk and the calling, that's when you walk in the peace of the Lord. When people are like, you know what, I just don't have peace in my life. It's because the walk's too heavy. It's because the walk's too weighted down, and you need the calling to start to level that out and start to balance that out in your life again. There's times where these scales are again, fully tilted to where the weight's all the way on the floor in the walk, and the calling has no bearing on the walk. Listen, if you're in that place, I hate to be this straight about it, but you haven't truly accepted the invitation. You just haven't. If it's fully this way, the weight of the walk is all the way to the bottom, it has all the weight, then you haven't fully accepted the invitation that Christ has for you. It's kind of like when you get an invitation in the mail. The Caraways, at least my section of the Caraways, were terrible at RSVPs. If you send us something, you're going to have to text me or Christy and say, are you guys coming? Because we will forget. It'll be like on the fridge. Look at it every day when I get some water out of the fridge, and we still won't remember. It's like you get the invitation in the mail. Maybe you even RSVP, but you didn't actually go to the wedding. That's kind of where you're at if your life is that way. If you say, I've accepted the invitation, but why is my life still so heavy? Why is it that the calling is, I don't feel it at all? Why is it that that my life just seems like it's empty and it's void? It's because maybe you've received the paper. Maybe you've even sent the RSVP back in. You filled out a salvation card, but you haven't actually accepted the invitation. You haven't actually gone to the wedding. You haven't actually gone forward and said, I am going to partake in this. I'm going to receive it into my life. I'm going to be a part of Christ, and I want Christ to be a part of me. And you know what? Sometimes we think that that's too hard. Sometimes we think, you know what? Maybe I can't do that. We need to know that we might be weak, but when we accept that invitation, the Holy Spirit is strong. Amen? The Holy Spirit is strong. The Holy Spirit is weighty. And if we'll let him, he'll jump on that scale and start to bring equality to our life, bring that order right into place where it needs to be, and bring balance. Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his, right? The Spirit of God, if he's in you and you allow him to work, he'll bring balance and order. Have you accepted the invitation? Is the Spirit in you? And are you walking in the Spirit? Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. He will strengthen you in the inner man for a supernatural walk. Somebody say praise God. Right? I mean, he will strengthen your inner man so that you can walk in a supernatural walk. That is a great, amazing, powerful thing. It says that you will be strengthened with his might. The might through his Spirit in your inner man. Right? One that's a balanced life by the Spirit, because you can't do that on your own. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. Praise God. Okay, right here. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. If you live your life where those scales are so tipped toward your walk, you will die. Like, done. Like when you're resurrected, you're going to be in the line on the left. That's not the good line, okay? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Praise the Lord. That's when the scale starts to tip back toward even. There isn't one man or woman that has the power to balance those scales on their own. But yet we try, don't we? We try and we try and we try. If I just change my schedule, if I just do a, I was telling Christy the other day that maybe me and her both need to do a time budget. If you've ever heard of one of those, it's where you record your time and you can see what exactly I did throughout my day. Why don't I feel accomplished? Well, it's because I wasted time doing this and that. But you know what? There's some practical things you can do, but ultimately, if the Spirit's not in it, if the Spirit's not helping you, you cannot balance the scales through your own might. You just can't. You can't heap stuff on the calling side. That's the Holy Spirit. It's basically you give the Spirit authorization to go ahead and jump on the scale. Go ahead and enter my life and get on here and start to tip things back in order. We can't do it through our own effort. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Right? We're sufficient by the power of Christ. That's how we're sufficient. That's how we're whole. That's how we're good. It's not by us doing things. From before the foundations of the world, right? Jesus created you because he wanted you. Anything else is a lie from the enemy. Jesus created you because he wanted you. And you know what? My God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he wanted me before the foundations of the earth, then guess what? He still wants me today. Praise God for his long-sufferingness, right? That he still wants me. I hope you guys can say the same thing, that praise him that he still wants me. All that I have, all that I've been through, who I am, listen, I don't even want me sometimes. But praise God, he does. I mean, that's an amazing thing. That right there is hope, and that right there is faith, that God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, always has and always will wanted me. He wants you the way that you are, right? With the baggage. He wants you with the baggage. Bring it all. Everything that you got, he wants it all. That's the invitation. That's the calling. That's the waiting to get on the scales. But I'm going to tell you, then he desires not just to be on the scales, but to bring that balance by leading you down that way of everlasting, by leading you by the Spirit away from the old man. Not like if you're married to a guy that you have to leave him. Not like leading you away from the old man. Leading you away from the old man or woman that you used to be. Right? That's what the Spirit wants. He's like, you know what? Let me get on the scale, but then let me lead you away from that baggage, right? You can bring it with you, but when I get on that scale and I start to bring order to your life and I start to tip things back to where it's uniform and where it's equal and where you're in Christ and you're in the position that he's in, when I lead you to that place, what I want you to do is we're going to start going through the luggage. I know you really like that shirt, but listen, it's cold in Alaska. Like, you're going to have to throw that out, right? Or maybe it's hot in Florida and you're going to have to throw out that sweatshirt. You don't need it anymore. He's going to start going through the luggage and he's going to say, you know what? If you want the scales to stay even, you've got to start throwing some of this stuff out. You got to start throwing some stuff out. You got to start making your life a little bit lighter. You got to start casting off the weights, right? We're supposed to cast off the weights that restrain us, is what the word tells us. It's weight that restrains us, that holds us down. How many of you have ever been through the airport and you're like, man, I really wish I would have packed a little lighter when you're toting around that suitcase? Even if you got the cool ones now with the four wheels and you can kind of like play with it going through there, and then it tips over and you're like, oh man, I'm going to look like a fool trying to stand this thing back up. And mine doesn't have a handle on the bottom. Who makes a suitcase like that? There's no handle on the bottom, so you got to like manhandle the whole thing. And it's like, man, that's what our life is like sometimes. We're like, we think it's all cool because it's like, man, I got this on four wheels, and then we fall over and we're done. We can't get back up. And like, I wish it was a little bit lighter. And that's what the Spirit is wanting to do in our lives. Try to make that baggage a little bit lighter and a little bit lighter and a little bit lighter by leading us away from the old man, the flawed image of who we were, into the perfect image of who Jesus is. That's what the Spirit is trying to do. It requires our dependence on the Spirit to help us follow that example that Jesus set. Seek to put off the old man. Ephesians 4:22 said that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Then in Colossians 3:8-9, he says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these things. Cast them off. Throw them off the scales. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. He's saying, cast this stuff off. Get it out of your life, or it's going to keep weighing down the scales. It's going to keep being a burden. You might think it's starting to level up, and then you keep piling that junk back on there. You're going and you're digging it out of the trash. How many of you people, you've got done house cleaning, and then you see that pile sitting there by the door that you're taking to the silk purse, and then you're like, well, I haven't worn that shirt in 3 years, but I'll wear it this year. I'm just taking this one thing out of the pile. And all the ladies are laughing, and all the husbands are like, I'm like, put it in the truck. Put it all in the truck. Everything, let's clear it out. But it's like sometimes we're just to that point where we're like, we'll finally get rid of it, and then we're like, well, just one more year, right? Just one more year. And we do the same thing with the baggage we carry in our life. Right when it's about to go out the door, when the Holy Spirit's about to just throw it in the dump or haul it off, we're like, maybe I'll just hang on to it for just a little bit longer. And we put it back on the scale, and the weight comes right back on us. It's uneven again and again and again and again. But he says, put on the new man. Ephesians 4:24, that you might put on the new man that was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put that on. Listen, if you put that on, you don't need the other stuff. You won't need it. There's going to be a day where we're going to be clothed in white. Right? And we're not going to need all of the stuff we have now. You won't need it anymore. Go ahead and get rid of it now. Keep one outfit. Don't be walking around with no clothes on. We don't want to be that church. Then Colossians 3:10, he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You're renewed in the knowledge according to Jesus who created you. This is a process, right? We shouldn't ever be content. We should never be content with baby steps and with the eventual progress, right? The hope that there will eventually be progress in my life. We do go through seasons like that, but I'm saying we should never be content there. Sanctification, the work of the Spirit making us more like Jesus, it is a process, but we should never, ever, ever be satisfied by where we're at in that process. We should always be looking for more. Like, Lord, bring me to a higher place. Bring me to a greater place. Help me to rid my life of more and more and more of this junk. It can't just be something you do in your own might and in your own power. It's got to be done by his Spirit, because it's what brings true order and true balance to our lives. We've got to have the Spirit of God, church. Old habits are hard to break. You know that? Old habits can be hard to break. Temptations, right, are enticing. Temptations of this world, the temptations of the enemy, the temptations of the flesh, they're enticing. You know what? We're weak and we're limited in our own power. But so many times we try to just take it all on our own. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it this time. If I just work harder, if I just do it enough times, everything will even out. The only way things even out is if we let the calling that the Spirit of God has upon our life, the calling to follow Jesus and to walk after him, if we allow that to get on the scales and even things out. If you would stand with me in this place. Today, you know, there's times where we think that we can't do something. We think about how weak we are, and we get fixated on those things, and I think we forget how tremendously powerful the Spirit of God is. Right? There's nothing that is known to man that is more powerful. And so today, if you just close your eyes and bow your heads in this place. Father, we thank you for the tremendous work of your Spirit, that without it, we'd be done. We would have had the chance, the second chance at life, and we would have done blown that as well. But Lord, it's by your Spirit. It's by your might. It's by the fact that you are a force to be reckoned with, that you are a God that is powerful, that is able, that is willing, a God that's willing to bring balance to my messed up life. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you work in our lives in a way, Lord, that we couldn't possibly do it on our own. We can't make things right. We can't make things new. We can't make things to be in perfect harmony, but your Spirit can. And so today, Lord, we submit our lives to you, and we say that not by my might, but by your Spirit, I will be made whole. Lord, it's not just about the resurrection, but if we've received that, Lord, we ask that today, that new life that you've created in us, that you would help us to bring balance to our life. Lord, I pray that not a person in here that would feel that heaviness, that weightiness of the scale where it's dropped all the way to the floor on the side of the walk while the calling's up in the air. So many people are walking around with their calling up in the air. Lord, the calling's not up in the air. The calling is dead on, spot on. You're calling them to Jesus. You're calling them to serve you. You're calling them to follow you. You're calling them to throw out the old man and to receive the new into their life. And Lord, I pray as they give in to that and they give way to your Spirit, Lord, that you'll bring balance and order to those scales. Lord, that they would begin to feel less of that burden. They would feel lighter and lighter, and you'd begin to even the scales to where they're back in that position, in that place where they are one with you, where they are in Christ, where Christ is in them, where they're seated in heavenly places with Christ, with their enemy at their footstool, in power and in victory. Lord, that's what you do by your Spirit, and that's what we're asking for today. We proclaim it. Lord, let it be done. Be true to your word. and work in the hearts and the lives of each and every person here today in that way. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for what you're doing. We praise you, God, that you don't give up on us. We praise you that today you love us the same as the day you created us, that your desire is still for us. And Lord, that you're not done with us yet. And for that, you are worthy to be praised. And so, Lord, we lift up this church to you and we ask you just to have your way, that your Spirit would come and go as it pleases and move in our hearts in the ways that you desire. Lord, raise us up as a body that is whole. Lord, a body that's not lacking, a body that can do what it is that you've called us to do, and that every person would be doing their part, every person would be fulfilling their calling. Lord, because that's our desire, is for us to work in the fullness of the calling that you have for us, so that we can bring glory to your name. And so today we surrender to you, we give it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.